scripture to you and then talk to you and bring you up to date on something so you will know. First, or rather, 2 Peter, I've quoted this passage to you a number of times. And the other night when I was quizzing Becky on her memory verses for Bible doctrines, she quoted a couple of verses that I had had to memorize when I was in school, and I thought, boy, am I glad she's learning those verses. And, you know, when young people learn verses that like that, they have them in their lives and their hearts from then on. And what a help that is to have the Word of God in your heart like that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 teach us the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These verses are very clear that God has given us everything that we need for salvation and for sanctification right here in His Word. That means that we don't have to go to what we would call extra-biblical sources or sources outside the Bible to provide guidance for us in our lives. Now, we live in a society today which is enamored of psychology. Psychology is rooted in a false view of man. Most people believe that there is the physical nature of man, which the medical doctor helps us to take care of. And then there is the spiritual part of man, which the pastor can give us guidance on. And then there is the psychological nature of man, which we need the psychologist to help us understand. Well, the psychologist really has stolen his work, or his field, from the pastor, okay? God takes care of the spiritual nature of man, and the church ministers to this, what's called the psychological, the psuche, which is the soul of man. And as a result of that, some very well-intentioned, I think well-intentioned people, maybe their intentions are not good at all, but they seem to be, who are spreading secular psychology in our world today. And we have to be extremely, extremely careful about not becoming embroiled in that or being deceived by that. And so the reason for that is because of the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture. But also it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that the doctrine of separation is very clearly taught here. Verse 14 says, "Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" He goes on to say that we're to come out from among them and be separate. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The idea there is that when you have people who don't believe the Bible, or who don't believe what it teaches, such as the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture, then the proper response of the believer, after, of course, biblical appeals and seeking to teach and things like that, is separation. And, you know, we teach that, and we believe that here. But I need to bring you up to date on something so that you'll know where your pastor stands on this. Back in the late 80s, I think it was in 1988, we always give, and have for many, many years, given our visitors here a tape of our family's testimony and the fire that came into our home. We had not written our book at that time. That did not come out until 1994. But somebody, I mean, and there were thousands and thousands of those tapes, literally, that were out in circulation. And somebody sent one of those tapes to focus on the family and Dr. James Dobson's ministry, who I'm sure is a very nice person and has done great work in an effort to strengthen families, and probably has strengthened families and taken a pro-life position and things like that. And so they were impressed with the testimony. I had a testimony in there. My wife did too. And so they broadcast our tape over a period of 2 days in 1988. And it was very well received. And I heard word that they had over 10,000 of those tapes ordered from their broadcast. And we were thankful to have that opportunity to give the testimony and didn't really think at the time about the connections and associations. And, of course, the problem with psychological integration was not quite as well understood, you know, 14 years ago as it is today. So we didn't say anything about it. We just said, well, okay, well, thank you for the opportunity. We did receive several thousands of dollars in donations to our school as a result of that. And I got invitations from places I could never, ever go. And didn't. But at any rate, it was a kind of an awkward position. Well, they broadcast it again in 1990. And then it was really awkward. And I thought, oh my. Well, you know, we heard about it when somebody told us, hey, I heard your testimony is going to be on Dobson. And so in 1992, they called us again. Or this time they called Mike Trout, who was in charge of programming at the time, called me. And said, we're going to be airing your testimony again and wanted some updated information or something like that. And since they asked me up front that time, I said, you know, I really would appreciate it if you wouldn't do that. And I tried to explain to him, and of course he didn't understand, and that's okay. But they didn't broadcast it in 1992. And I thought I made it clear to him then that I didn't want him to broadcast it anymore. But, you know, I did get written up in a few fundamental papers, and I got to tell you, they had a point. And there's no point in my arguing with those who said, you know, you should have never been on that program. But, I mean, it wasn't like I drove out there and was on the program. Somebody sent the tape, and they aired it. And the next time, you know, when they asked me, I asked them not to do it. But then when our book came out in 1994, Fleming Revell, who's responsible for the cover of the book and those kinds of things, put on there the fact that our testimony had been on Dobson. And I think the reason they did that was to identify us with the story that so many people had already heard. And so that, again, was a connection. Well, when we got the copyright back on our book and we had been producing it ourselves, we obviously did not put that on the cover. In fact, I even went through and made some changes in the text of the book to make sure that we didn't have those associations. Well, a few weeks ago, when we were over in the United Kingdom, we were on the train coming back from Scotland to London, and I connected my laptop to my cell phone and checked my email. And there was an email on there from my secretary saying that this guy had called from Focus on the Family, and they wanted to air our testimony again. And they have a program, apparently it's called Flashback Fridays or something like that, and they were taking some of their more popular, no other way to say it, recordings from the past, and they were going to broadcast it. So, I mean, I was overseas, and I couldn't get online that easy anyway, and so it was no way to respond back. So I thought, I'll deal with it when I get home. So I'd sent an email back to my secretary, and I said, just I'll call the guy when I get home. So I waited, and then I got home, and we were only home a few days, and I had to take another trip. Got home for that overnight, and I had to take another trip, and you know how it's been. For the last 2 or 3 months, we've been traveling extensively with other ministry responsibilities. So the guy kept calling, and we need to get some updated information. And so finally I told Sophia, and I said, look, I'll try my best to call the guy tomorrow when I'm driving down to Columbia, if I can, and I'll talk to him. But she said, well, I told him, he said that they were needing to move ahead on their production schedule, and they were running out of time. And she said, I told him, well, I don't think he has given his permission to do this yet. And the guy said, oh, well, I didn't think that would be a problem or something like that. So at any rate, finally, I thought, okay, I sent him an email. I can do that at night. So I sent him a very gracious email. I'm going to read to you what I said. I was nice, but I think I was real clear. And I want you to know because of something I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. Okay? Here's my letter. Dear brother, whatever. Please forgive me for the delay in my response to your calls regarding your plans to air our testimony tape on May 17th. As my secretary explained, I was out of the country when you first contacted us, have had a very busy travel schedule since I returned to the States. I had intended to call you rather than use this more impersonal communication, but I've had only a few hours at home and in the office. Perhaps your records will show that the tape of our family testimony that was sent to you by a friend in the late 80s was aired twice on your broadcast. About 10 years ago, I was notified that it was to be aired a third time. I spoke with the gentleman in charge of scheduling at that time to request the tape not be aired again. Although we appreciate the efforts of your ministry to strengthen families, our stand for the fundamentals of the faith and absolute sufficiency of the Scripture have led us to the position. Our ministry is grounded on the preaching and defense of the Word of God. We do not desire to undermine the sincere ministry of others, but we must be consistent in our stand to protect the integrity of our own ministry. I hope you understand that you will be able to find a suitable alternative. So I thought, you know, that's nice, right? And he wrote back a real nice letter. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to give me an update. Yes, I understand your desire not to air this message again, and I will make a note in our files for future reference. No apologies are needed. We appreciate your firm convictions, and we appreciate all you're doing to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray God's richest blessings on you, your dear family, and your church. So I thought, okay, we nipped that one in the bud. Today I get an email from a friend of mine out in Kansas City. He says, I see from the Focus on the Family radio log that your testimony is going to be aired again on May the 17th. So now I'm understanding why the guy was calling my secretary so much, because they'd already printed it. So that's going to be fun. I'm going to get to do some more letters and emails and calls and stuff like that. So I want you to know up front, no, it's not. Okay? It's not going to be aired. I do not support the psychological integrationism of Focus on the Family and the Dobson Ministry. And I'm sorry about that, okay? But it's going to be in their radio log, and some people are probably going to read that. If they listen to it, well, you know, if any fundamental friends call me and say, hey, what you doing in there? I'm going to say, hey, what are you doing looking it up? But what are you doing reading that anyway? At any rate, I'm going to put a little something in front line explaining this, because I think it's important. I don't want to be identified with new evangelicalism. I don't want to be identified with psychology. I like to be identified with strengthening families, okay? But I'm not willing to do that. And I got to tell you, you know, it's easy to take a stand. It doesn't cost you anything, by the way. You know that? But you have to take your stand even if it does cost you something. I mean, I know that millions of people listen to that broadcast, and the thought occurred to me in this process. I was praying one morning, and I thought about this guy. I don't know if you all get to Reader's Digest. I've been getting that all my life, and I read it. But there's a story in there about a fellow whose wife was severely burned in the World Trade Center attack. And as I read that guy's story, my heart really went out to him. I thought, you know, I have lived this man's pain. And I know right where he is. And not only that, I know where he's going to be in the years ahead, too. And this thing is not over yet. And I thought, you know, I should find his address, and I should write to him, and I should minister to him a little bit, and I should send him a copy of our book, and I should pray for him. And I'm going to. And then the thought occurred, well, you know, boy, if this broadcast thing, I mean, if that happens, maybe we could really get that book out to a lot of people. And then I got to thinking, what am I thinking? And so, you know, I want you to know that I have the same struggles other people do, and you have to make decisions, and you have to take your stand. And so I did, and we are, and I need you to pray for me, okay? Because now I got to run interference with misunderstandings. I'm hoping and praying that if anybody's concerned about it, they'll contact me. If things run the way they usually will, they won't. They'll just write me up, okay? I mean, I know that's going to happen, because it always happens. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, you just keep on serving God. And it's like old Shoeless Joe said, don't look back, something might be gaining on you. But you know, just press on and do what God's called you to do. But I want you to know that they had printed that thing before I found out about it. And when I found out about it, I very graciously and very kindly said, please don't do that. And they said, okay, we won't. I don't know what I'd have done if they said, sorry, we're going to do it anyway. I might have got ugly. I don't know. But at any rate, I want you to realize that I'm not associated with that ministry. I know our testimony was on there, and it was a difference. I mean, if they'd asked me to come out there and be on a program, I wouldn't have done it. Okay? And so I want you to understand that. All right? And if anybody says, hey, I heard your pastor is going to be on Dobson, I thought blah, 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 and I'll say, no, he's not. And you can explain it based on what I just told you. Okay? But I'm going to put it in the front line. Try to nip it in the bud if I can. So if you have any questions about it, you can ask me. You can ask me right now if you want to. You might want to know, well, why wouldn't you do that? I'll be glad to get into something on that. But it's a principle of separation. It's a principle of biblical sufficiency. It's a principle of not being identified with new evangelicals. It's that simple. Okay? I'm not a new evangelical. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a separatist. And I'm not ashamed of it. you know, I don't mean to be sinfully proud of it, but you know, I'm not ashamed of it. So at any rate, I want you to know that, all right? And I want to be faithful to you. I'm your pastor. My first obligation after the Lord is to you. So I want you to know that, all right? So thank you very much. And I didn't know I was going to get done that quick because I got 8 more minutes. Yeah, we haven't greeted the visitors yet, have we? Hey, let's greet the visitors, all right? Anybody visiting tonight? We'd like to meet you if you are. Nobody? Okay. Oh, hey, look back there. Let's meet young Mark George. All right, great. Already in church. Praise the Lord. We're so happy for you folks. The Zimmers, of course, are on their way to Zambia. No. You're going to Puerto Rico? The Zimmers are Puerto Rico. You're the washers. You married a Zimmer. You're a washer. I get all you people mixed up. There's only about 15 of them. But no, I'm sorry. Sorry, Nathan. Pardon me. His wife is a farmer Zimmer. And now they're washers and on their way to Africa. But pray for them as their tribe increases. Okay? All righty. Any other visitors here tonight? Or new arrivals that we haven't met? Well, we're glad to have all of you here. Trust the Lord will bless you and strengthen you and keep you strong. Okay? All right. We're going to take an offering for these folk that ministered to us tonight. So let's come on up here and do that. And we'll give and trust the Lord to help us to be a blessing to them. Boy, that was a blessing. See what the Lord's doing down there in Peru, wasn't it? My, praise the Lord. 7 million people speak that language. I got to tell you, brother, I hadn't heard about that language until tonight. What a rebuke that is. You know, you think you figured out what's going on, and all of a sudden you hear there are people all over the world that you never heard of or prayed for. We need to keep these folks before the Lord. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us and for the good ministry that we had tonight to our hearts about this work in Peru. Help us to be a blessing to them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.